Welcome to the second half of the weekly Daily Fantasy Football special final preseason preview. We just wrapped up the guys falling in drafts, discussing, and we're having such a good conversation with Mike Talenko, who is here still with us. I am your host, Keith Fleming. Joe Matz, the man with the stats, is here. Got a nice beard going too, Joe. Looking good, bro. We are all positive people, so we're excited to get into the guys that are rising in drafts, people you should be excited about. I know a lot of fantasy football drafts will happen in the next few days. So we're going to get right into this. For the risers, I'm going to go ahead and just start off with a hot take. It's something that I have been discussing on this podcast since we started doing the preview podcast. I have Calvin Ridley, who is right now the sixth receiver, 21st overall. I made the statement. I'm going to continue to say it. I think Calvin Ridley is going to be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football this year. In 2020, he had 143 targets, 90 receptions, 1,374 yards, 9 touchdowns. Things have changed. The biggest thing, obviously, is Julio Jones is gone. The other big thing that I think people are not talking about enough is he's going from one of the worst offensive coordinator play callers in football to arguably one of the best in Arthur Smith. There was 5 games last year at the end of the season that Julio missed. In those 5 games, Ridley had 56 targets, 36 receptions, 559 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Those games were against New Orleans, Tampa Bay twice, San Diego, and Kansas City. So 4 of those games are against some of the top defenses in the league. And the Kansas City game was in freezing cold temperatures. So this was not like he was doing this against the Detroit Browns and these other teams that were just trash. The thing that I really want to talk about, because I was baffled. I knew Julio had a big target share, but I just want to go over this. In 2016, Julio had 125 targets, 25% target share. 2017, 143 targets, 29% target share. 2018, 166 targets, 28% target share. 2019, 149 targets, 24% time share. Obviously, last year he missed time, so we're not going to get into that. In 2015, he had 193 targets, 33% target share. I'm not saying it's going to be that high, but I am telling you that Pitts is amazing. But if you think that they're going to throw to a rookie tight end, you know, 90, 100 times, that's too much even for what I'm calling Megatron at the tight end. That's too much for him. You talked about, Mike, that you don't really believe in Russell Gage. He's okay. I don't think he's going to do anything outstanding. And again, Mike Davis is a good pass catching back. He's terrible in the run. I mean, last year, I think he averaged like 3.8 yards per carry. So it's not like we're going to be running it down people's throats. And the other thing is there is a chance, as much as I hate to say it, the Falcons could be really bad. That is great news for Calvin Ridley. So I think either they're going to be competitive and he's going to be by far the guy getting the most targets, the biggest percentage target share, or if they're bad and you draft Calvin Ridley, even better. Again, right now he's going 21st overall. That's his ADP. That is ridiculous. When you get to the 12th, 13th pick, I have no hesitations at all about Calvin Ridley. He was extremely consistent down the stretch last year. And if you've seen him, he hasn't played really at all in the preseason, but they have showed video of him in training camp, just torching Miami secondary and you know, practice workouts with other teams. I am all over Calvin Ridley. Again, I'm going to say it again. I think he's going to be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football this year. And the sky is the limit. And again, I'm a Falcons fan, full disclaimer. I don't want you to think that it's not what it is. I am obviously a homer, but Joe can tell you from last year, all the podcasts we do, I'll tell you when the Falcons suck and when the guys aren't going to do anything. Calvin Ridley is a can't miss. And I honestly feel more confident about him than Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, because Travis Kelce's involved. I mean, this guy is going to eat early, often. Go get Calvin Ridley early in the second round, middle second round.
I'm speechless. Yeah.
Oh man, I love that. I love that take, and it's a little spicy, but I don't think it's
it is.
I don't think it's too spicy, right?
Totally possible. Go home,
right? It's within the realm of possibility. I love me some Calvin Ridley as well too. I think he's one of those people who, as you said, like, he's too low. It's wrong. It's like, it's almost wrong where he's being taken, right? Like, he deserves to be pushed up even more. I'll just take a look, because you brought it up, you said it. I'll take a look right across the field, and take a look at Kyle Pitts. So we mentioned him on the Fallers show. Shout out to the Fallers. Not as a Faller, but because Russell Gage came up. Look, I for me, this has been a hashtag challenge your own thinking kind of moment for me. Never been a big like tight end person. Always been kind of like a let's just kind of figure it out on the back end tight end kind of guy. But man, the talent is undeniable. The situation, all the things you just said about Calvin Ridley, like if the Falcons suck this year, if they're throwing like crazy, because Mike Williams is doo-doo, or Mike Williams, Mike Davis is doo-doo out of the backfield unless he's catching balls. Like, all these things also apply to Pitts, and you know he's not going to draw the best coverage because he's a rookie tight end, and there's Calvin Ridley over there, right?
Arthur Smith's going to move him all over the field. You know, he's just because he played outside, inside, like in college. If you're Arthur Smith, you're just like, I'm going to spend hours just figuring out how I'm going to mess with defenses with this dude.
He's going to put them everywhere. Like, it's going to be nasty, right? And like, God, he might line him up at fullback, like, and fake a run, like, as the run blocker. Like, I know Pitts isn't much of a blocker, but like, still, like, who cares? Like, he could do anything he wants with him. That's right. You drafted him to catch some MF and touchdowns, right? So, I have been lower on him throughout this preseason than I think most people have in my circle of dynasty people, because I'm not a first-year tight end believer. But the more I think about the situation, the more I think about, like, some of the variables that can go his way pretty easily, and the fact that, like, he just is who he is. Like, look, tight end, your end tight or your one tight ends, right? They don't usually make an impact, but if one can do it, it's probably this one. So hashtag challenge your own thinking. Enjoy.
So one thing real quickly, we talked about Pitts again on our rookie podcast when we previewed it. Matt Ryan has consistently thrown to tight ends. He's had at least 80 targets to tight ends. I think it's like 8 out of the last 9 seasons. He only had Tony G, because it's been so long now, for I think 2 of them. There was years, I'm talking about, it was rough, like Tulalolu. I mean, guys that you're going, what? And he's still throwing it. And then again, remember in Tennessee last year, with not world beater tight ends, but they had over 100 targets to do their 2 tight ends. So we know Arthur Smith is not afraid to throw to tight ends as well. And then, as you're saying, he is definitely going to probably be the guy that's their number 2 target. I mean, I co-sign all of that. And I've really been shocked he hasn't gone up with his ADP as much as, Joe, we thought he was. Remember when we looked at him for rookies, right? Well, he's going to continue to rise, and then it's not worth it because, again, with a rookie, I'm not going to take him. He's still going like early 4th round. I mean, again, that's kind of when you want to start taking your home runs, because nothing is a sure thing at that point. And, boy, if you can get a boom player there, that's when your roster is really starting to look good.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen him as late as late 5th, so –
Oh, you, like, get in there, run to make that selection.
Yep. That. Thank you very much. Let's continue.
Yeah, I had 2 auction drafts yesterday, and probably my biggest disappointment was not coming away with either of those guys in both drafts. It killed me. I got outbid at the last second by $1 on Ridley, and it's just like, it got up to where it was like $45, and I was just, it was just a little too heavy for me.
I get it. I go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm good. Go.
I just, man, I get it. And I even had like a situation yesterday in the draft I talked to you guys about before, where I like, I already had Waller from round two, and Pitts was still there, right? Like he was still there in round five. And I was like, oh my God, like, do I want to have two? Oh man, I don't know. Like, ultimately, obviously, I didn't go there, but like, still, like,
fantasy is moving towards that, though, right? Yeah. Like, it seems like every year there seems to be more and more, you know, tight ends that are becoming just folk, because it's such a mismatch. If you have the right, you know, tight end, and the touchdowns too. Joe, who's your first guy?
My first guy is T. Higgins, who's a guy I always liked going into this year, but Jamar Chase's struggles have just kind of locked him in for me, where, I mean, in the last two preseason games, Jamar Chase has had four targets that all hit his hands and he didn't catch any of them. I wouldn't overreact to that. I don't think like Jamar Chase sucks now. I'm still buying in pretty hard on Jamar Chase long term. But it just kind of threw in that, like, yeah, he's a rookie wide receiver who didn't play football last year. Maybe I shouldn't assume, like, don't assume he's just going to take off immediately. And then you have T. Higgins in the eight games where he started and Joe Burrow started and finished the game. Higgins was on pace for 80 receptions, 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns if you prorated it for the whole year. That would have made him wide receiver 13 in PPR last year. And right now, I believe, let me double check. I think he's wide receiver 24 right now on the consensus ADP, which is one spot ahead of Jamar Chase. So to me, I'll be surprised if T. Higgins is in the top 20 wide receiver. Like Deontay Johnson.
Standard, going, he's 29th, Joe.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he should really be lower. Like, I think he is like an 80 reception type guy. I don't. Like, Deontay Johnson's ahead of him in PPR, which I get because Deontay
talking Johnson's about drops, though, right? Catches. Like, yeah. That guy will drop some balls.
I mean, a number of guys that, yeah, Mike mentioned fading. Tyler Lockett's ahead of him. I would not take Tyler Lockett over him. I think he's a top 20 wide receiver. I think there's a real chance he's top 15, even top 10, if assuming that offensive line holds up and Joe Burrow can stay upright. I think T. Higgins,
what did you say earlier too, Joe, on one of the earlier podcasts, you said that you would not be surprised at all if Joe Burrow leads the league in pass attempts.
Yeah, I know they've talked up like being more balanced, and they might be just because they were throwing an insane
rate. Let's see if Joe Mixon stays healthy, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, even if Mixon stays healthy, he's got hands on him.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's where he's probably most lethal.
That defense isn't going to be good. Like, they're going to be losing a lot of games, so they're going to have to pass.
I co-sign with that. Are you guys both big on Burrow? You know, since we're right here talking about Bengals.
I am. I think he's a top 10 quarterback this year in fantasy.
Yeah, I'm not ready to anoint him, but I think he has the talent.
So you think, though, his ADP right now is about right, 13th quarterback?
I think it's very fair.
That's a sign to me of how much I like him and that receiving core, because I'm not a big Zach Taylor fan. I am hoping he gets fired this year so they get a real offensive mind in there instead of
especially Sean with the weapons they have, right? Like they've all of a sudden got
leftovers, which is what Zach Taylor is.
I mean, they have some serious young talent on offense. So the next guy is a no-duh with the Travis Etienne injury and the fact that he's done for the year, but I still need to bring it up. It's James Robinson. He's currently the 20th running back, 43rd overall. Now, obviously, you know, the further you get away, like if your draft's tomorrow, maybe it'll stay somewhere around there. I have a feeling that, you know, if you're drafting, like, say, Wednesday of next week, it's going to be earlier, but I still think he's worth it. Let's just get into first. He's going to have a big workload without Etienne. I mean, it's going to be, it is what it is. Last year he had over 1,000 yards on the ground. He had 7 touchdowns. He had 49 receptions, 344 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had at least 16 carries in 14 of his 16 games. He had 10 games with at least 4 targets, 5 with 6 or more, and 8 games with at least 4 receptions. I was very hesitant on James Robinson because I'm huge on Travis Etienne. Like, I was like, man, this guy is going to be maybe Alvin Kamara light is what me and Joe Matt said, mm-hmm. like very similar skill set. The fact that he played with, you know, Lawrence, I think was only going to help him because there was that connection. We felt like he was going to really help them in the pass game. That was going to be where he's most utilized. And obviously that was going to hurt Robinson's. That was really Robinson's real strength last year as well. We don't have to worry about any of that. So again, with Etienne out, I mean, you got to think they got a huge upgrade at quarterback. So James Robinson did all that last year with, who all did they have start? I mean, Jesus, it was like Mike Glennon for a period.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, there's no point going into the Jaguars quarterbacks from last year. And again, he was top 12 last year in scoring both in standard and PPR. I think it was seventh or eighth in PPR. Robinson is going to eat. And again, we've talked about on the podcast, we think the Jaguars are going to be frisky on offense. Like, I believe in Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to be great right off the bat, but I do think they're going to be frisky on offense. Like, by week 4 or 5, they're going to start really figuring out. You saw Lawrence look great tonight. And they're another team that they quietly have amassed a lot of weapons. Like, they have good wide receivers. And James Robinson proved last year, despite me saying over and over again, man, this guy's going to get hurt. Man, this guy's going to whatever. He averaged 18.3 touches per game. That's more than Alvin Kamara. And again, this guy is going way after Alvin Kamara, even with him moving up, obviously, with the Etienne news. James Robinson is a guy you should really be targeting. I mean, I'm going to say even if he goes up to like the 35th, 36th overall, I would still want him because you're going to have a guy that's going to be the featured back. You know, he catches passes. He's got an upgrade at quarterback. And let's be honest, even if the Jags are frisky on offense, they're probably still going to be bad. And that's always a plus when you have a fantasy guy that's on a bad team. So I am all over James Robinson.
You can't argue with that.
Nope. And man, Robinson was such a nasty pickup last year. And while he'll never return that kind of value, right? Like ever again, because we've seen it. He's still such a great, solid like pickup. I love it. Love everything about it. You want to talk about somebody else who could be a pretty solid pickup, especially where he is hanging out. I'm gonna jump on here with some Sony Michel. I know it's gross a little bit, right? Because we've seen him left for dead on the Patriots roster, like literally just left for dead, like getting the Gatorade for people, but he has,
it's not surprising though, right? Like that's what Belichick does.
That's what he does, dude. Like, but he has a new home, right? And a new opportunity. And would they bring him in if they trusted Henderson and trusted their situation? Absolutely not, right? They made some moves to like try to get it done this year with Stafford, right? And trying to work things around. And dude, Akers is looking great. Obviously, it's real sad he's not there this year. Real sad. Love me some Akers.
I did too.
But you know, and I hope he bucks the curve, you know, on that on his particular injury as well. You know, but when it comes to, you know, situation and talent, we've seen Michelle be awesome before, right? And when it comes to all of those things coming together and opportunity and talent and situation, like Sony has a chance where I think right now in PPR, he's 44, RB44 overall. Let me look here, 145. I mean, why not take him a little bit earlier? He's sitting there right next to Hines, who, if you were listening, I told you, hey man, I don't know about some Hines. Like if you're staring at Hines and Sony Michel's still there, like pick up Sony Michel. Like he's in a better situation. He's a better body. He's somebody who has been a lead before and has proven that he was able to carry it during the time that he had it. Just, you know, Patriots running backs, ugh, don't get us started, right? But like he's proven that he's capable. So why not take the shot? And look, he's not gonna explode, right? I don't expect him to be James Robinson, I expect it to be kind of a mix between the two, right? To keep them both fresh and healthy. Cause I think if you're missing Henderson on that team or missing Michelle, like all of a sudden it's like, yikes. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna mix them up. You're going to get some decent games, but for a flex play, for somebody who's going to come in and get you some points for sure. Like, I think Michelle's there. And when it comes to goal line carries, I'd rather give it to him than Henderson.
Like, don't you think he's going to be the goal line back? Right. Like, that's what me and Joe were talking about. Easily. That's why they got him.
Yep. Right. Like, whatever. I almost said caca, but that's a crow. Like, whatever sound a vulture makes, like that's what he's going to be. He's going to be vulturing. He's going to be vulturing those touchdowns the whole time too. Like, and while they're fluky and inconsistent, like you'll take a random touchdown for your flex player. Like, take it.
Their offense is going to be good too.
No. Yeah.
And I mean, just if you're going to get a guy, exactly. Like, he's honestly, I've been thinking about it. I told you on the Followers podcast, Todd Gurley had that stretch last year where for 8-9 weeks, he was on offense, was scoring a lot of points. He got most of the goal line work. He wasn't getting a ton of carries. And I mean, he was scoring like 15 to 20 points a game for an 8-game stretch. I think Sony's got more left in the tank than Gurley does. And what I'm really interested to see is, as a Georgia fan who watched him, I've been shocked how little he's been utilized in the passing game. He was an outstanding receiving back in college, like outstanding. Mm-hmm. We had Nick Chubb, and we would want in passing situations Sony Michel on the field because he had that diversity. You know, you didn't know if he was going to run or if he was going to catch a ball out of the backfield. And I don't know, you know, Belichick is somebody that, don't get me wrong, he normally, you know, grades players well and all that. But maybe he just didn't view that as a strength. And we know if he doesn't view something as a strength, he's not going to do it. So I'm interested to see if McVay maybe tries to get him a little bit more involved in the passing game. And if that happens, now you're talking about a guy that could, to your point, really be a boom for you with where he's going in the draft, even if you're taking him a round or two earlier than his ADP.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big Darrell Henderson guy, and I don't hate this pick because, like you said, he should be going in the top 40 among running backs. Like, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette aren't giving you anything in the passing game, and they're going – I mean, I assume people are moving Sony up ever since that trade, but there's no – I think he's, like, right in that group with Ronald Jones.
The good news is if you owned him the last year and a half, probably not moving him up that ADP, right? Because you're thinking of what you got. And, again, New England is a situation where it's not really fair – to guard, you know, to basically take that for your opinion. Jonas Gray rushed for 228 yards and 4 touchdowns and never started another game for the Patriots. That's all you need to know. Like, Belichick welcome to the is Patriots. Different. Yeah.
The Patriot way.
Yeah.
So for my next guy, I think this guy is being a little overlooked in the Travis Etienne fallout, which is Laviska Shenault. Because his whole game is get in the slot, get open underneath, and then he's just like a running back. He's a wide receiver with a running back's body. Like, he's big, he's thick, he trucks people. And Etienne was going to take some of those receptions, I think, and now it's just going to be feeding him. The last 5 games of the season last year, 25 receptions, 246 yards, 4 touchdowns. So that prorates out to 80 receptions, almost 800 yards. He's obviously not going to catch 13 touchdowns, I don't think. That's asking a little too much there. But when I was looking for, like, a good comp for what he could do, Deontay Johnson last year had 88 receptions, just over 900 yards, 7 touchdowns. That was good for wide receiver 21 in PPR. Chenault's wide receiver 40 right now, ADP in PPR leagues. So I'm looking at him, and before it was like, Chark's there, Marvin Jones, they're going to be the outside guys. Could be too many mouths to feed. But now that underneath game is all his, I think he's a top 30 wide receiver and maybe even a little bit more. So if he's sitting there deep into your draft, especially, again, if it's not PPR, I still think he gets a bump up. But if it's PPR, you know, take him. He's a flex play. He's a wide receiver 3.
Did you see his line tonight, Joe? Or today?
No, I did not.
He got 3 targets, 3 receptions, 33 yards, and a touchdown. And Lawrence looked really good.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I think Lawrence is, you know, I take him over some of the guys who are going as QB1s right now. So,
Wow. And you think about Chenault, right? He's what Urban Meyer loves.
Yes.
Like an interesting talent at a position where you don't expect that kind of talent to show up, like a mismatch or a strange, you know, a strange anomaly. Like that's what he loves. He loves enigmas. So,
Mike, why don't you get into, we got a guy that we're sharing and Marquez Callaway, and I'm gonna let you go ahead and go first and then I'll fill in whatever, you know, you don't mention that I think we should add.
Yeah. I'll say this, I'm going to call it the Brandon Cooks effect, right? Like he's there. Marquez has separated himself from the pack since Michael Thomas is out. And it looks like he's going to be out for at least most of the season. Who knows if not more. I know there's some bad blood supposedly there and there's a bunch of stuff going on. So who knows? But when it comes to Marquez Callaway, like they're going to throw it to somebody, you know, some wide receiver. And he has definitely made the case for himself to be that person. Like they got to throw to someone. Like they're and it looks like it's going to be Marquez Callaway. You know, sometimes the eye test is all you need. Mm-hmm. And just watching, you know, looking at preseason and listening to, you know, you can take camp for what it is and isn't, but like Marquez Callaway is clearly like separated himself from Tre'Quan Smith and anybody else, you know, still left over there and that wide receiver, like no man's land that is that place without Michael Thomas. Right. So you got to love Callaway and where he is, where he's sitting, you know, it's nasty. Like I got him in the 11th round yesterday. Like, thanks.
A number one today in the 10th round in right? our draft.
A number one wide receiver in the 10th or 11th round. Like you get excited about seeing who did you mention before? Corey Davis. You get excited about seeing Corey Davis where he's at. Like, holy crap. Like a wide receiver one that's going to be fed the ball. Yeah, I'll take it that late, right? That's all you got to tell me. Like, I'll take it.
Well, don't forget too, and we discussed this a little bit on the following podcast. Mm. Sean Payton is an offensive genius. And yes. It's been forgotten because, again, I'm a Falcons fan, so I like to dump on Drew Brees, but he was washed for the last 2 years. Like, he literally could not throw the ball down the field because of all the injuries and, you know, his shoulder. Jameis Winston, as a starter, I just want to remind people, for the Bucs in 2019, everybody wants to talk about the 30 turnovers. He also threw 30 touchdowns, and more importantly, he had two wide receivers go over 1,100 yards and score 8 touchdowns or more. Godwin had 86 receptions mm-hmm. for 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns. More importantly, 15.3 yards per catch. Evans, 67 receptions, 1,157 yards, 8 touchdowns, 17.3 yards per catch. Callaway is a crisp route runner. He's a serious deep threat. We've seen that. Like, he has really quick speed. And this is a quarterback who likes to sling it. And if you, like, just look at the throw he made in the playoffs last year. Like, that was the best throw by a New Orleans quarterback all season. And I'm telling you, Peyton is going to let him rip it because he knows that for Kamara to be at his most effective, he needs a quarterback that can beat you down the field. That's what's been so amazing about Kamara the last year and a half, is he's done it with a quarterback. Teams know he's not going to throw it 8 yards. That's not going to be a problem this year. And in his two preseason games, I know people are going to say, oh, it's preseason. He had 8 catches, 165 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The deal is he lined up against the number one corners. That was against Marquez Peters and Shaquelle Griffin. So this was not against scrubs. This was not against third team guys. This was against legit number one corners. Callaway is a steal right now. Like, I mean, you should run if it's the 10th, 11th round and you can get the number one receiver for a Sean Payton offense with a quarterback who likes to throw it down the field. And that's his strength. I'm jacked about Callaway. Like I said, I got him in the 10th round. You said you got him in the 11th. I know Joe would take him then, right?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the eye test. It's like, I remember everyone was, you know, hyping up Jameis after I think it was like the second preseason game where he was like 9 of 10 for like 2 touchdowns. And then I watched the highlights and I'm like, both of the touchdown throws of Callaway, like they're solid throws, but the receptions were what really made those plays. Like Callaway, he seems like he's got the talent and in that offense with that quarterback, the opportunity is going to be great.
Go ahead, Joseph. That was both of ours.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. The double up. All right. So mine is Jamal Williams, who formerly of the Green Bay Packers, now in the Detroit Lions. I just think I look at him, you know, solid, consistent runner. You know, the Packers probably gave him the ball too much considering how good Aaron Jones is, but you know, solid runner. Last 2 years, he's caught 88% of his targets. So he's going to be involved in the passing game. I think this team is going to go pretty heavy on the run game. You know, what we talked earlier, I think it was the last pod, about just the lack of receiving talent on that Detroit Lions team.
Putting it lightly.
Yeah. You're very nice.
And that defense, I don't, you know, I think it's going to be better now that they're.
Oh, it's going to be better. Yeah. They got rid of the dumbass at coach.
Yeah. All their corners just on islands. I think they should be better, but I don't think they're going to be good. So I think their game plan is going to be pound the rock, try to shorten games, control the ball, you know, alleviate any pressure on Jared Goff. And I think, you know, because of that, I think Jamal Williams, it's going to be a timeshare. I think he's the clear number two, but I think he gets like 40% of the touches in that backfield. And so, you know, this is another guy where when you look at the ADP, you know, how far down is he on here? So yeah, he's right at number 40. And so it's like, I look at like Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. I don't trust that Bills run game at all. And Josh Allen's going to just keep stealing touchdowns. So like, I don't know that I'd take either of those guys, especially if I can get Jamal Williams two rounds after Zach Moss. Fantastic. I'll do that every single time. So, no. And then, you know, if there's an injury and Jamal Williams is just getting all the carries, now you've got a running back too. So,
which Swift is already banged up. But I'm with you. I think that it's going to be very similar to Green Bay, except he's going to get more of an opportunity than in Green Bay, because they know Swift is a stud, but Swift is a guy that, I mean, I know that there was a report that came out, I talked about on the last podcast, that, you know, he's going to be the bell cow. And I was worried about that as somebody who was high on Swift. I don't want him to be the bell cow. Somebody needs to get 15 to 20 touches and just let him be explosive and do what he does. Because he was very effective doing that the second half of the season last year. I have not been taking crazy pills, but the next guy I'm going to talk about is Damian Harris. Yes, he does play for the New England Patriots. He's currently the 28th running back and 71st overall. He's going after guys like Mozart, Javonte Williams, Chase Edmonds, just before Melvin Gordon, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette. And these are all guys who I don't think will get the opportunities that Harris will. Let's remember that they have gotten rid of both Burkhead and Sony Michel. So it's not quite as crowded of a backfield as it's been in previous years. And last season in 10 games, he had 743 yards and two touchdowns. He averaged 9.1 points per game, despite playing only 39% of the snaps, and literally Bill Belichick acting like he hated all Damian Harris owners because he never gave him the freaking ball on the goal line. But that's another story. He was running back 24 or better in 5 of his 10 starts. And again, the Pats got rid of his competition. Like, there's not really another feature back there to take away the carries. And more importantly, it looks like he's going to be the goal line carry unless James White somehow steals those, which I'm not saying that's out of the realm of possibility. But the real thing here is, I am a real believer that the Pats are going to go back to more of, again, two tight end sets. They got Hunter Henry, Jonah Smith, and I think they're going to pound the ball. I think Belichick knows he has a great defense. And fingers crossed, I hope Cam Newton plays bad enough that they get him out of there and Mac Jones comes in. Because if Mac Jones is the quarterback, Damian Harris is going to feast. Because obviously you do have to worry about Cam in the goal line. I understand that with the red zone. But I think there's value there right now, even with Cam, with him being the 28th running back. But kind of like you taking a Justin Fields or one of those guys, you know, late in the draft going, okay, yeah, he's not really going to be, you know, a stud early in the season. But if things play out the way I think they could, he could help you down the stretch. Damian Harris is one of those guys where I think he's going to be solid enough. Again, he averaged 9 points a game last year, despite not getting any goal line carries, playing 39% of the snaps. The snaps are going to go up. I think he's going to get more goal line carries. And again, if the fantasy gods smile on me, Mac Jones will be starting because he's a better quarterback than Cam Newton right now. And the Patriots will have a much more versatile offense. And Damian's going to get all those goal line carries because Cam won't be vulturing them. So I know it's crazy to take a New England back, but I really do like Damon Harris. You know, again, it's the 28th running back.
I'm with you. I think the Mac Jones thing is the thing that really makes me feel better about him. Because, like, training Sony Michel's nice, but they still have a couple other backs that are going to work in there. But if you remove all those touchdowns that Cam steals at the goal line, that's huge. That puts him in the situation where I think he could be a top 20 back.
It's full discretion. He doesn't catch passes. Like, yeah, at least he didn't last year. And if they didn't let Sony catch passes, who did it in college, they're not going to let Damian Harris catch passes who didn't.
No, it's going to be my little man from Arizona represent the Wildcats, J.J. Taylor.
Yep. All right, who you got, Mike?
Nice.
He's like, I can't co-sign a New England Patriot.
Understandably. It's so tough.
No, it's risky. I know that. But, I mean, again, yeah. You know, I think, you got to take swings, like, sometimes.
Well, you're right. And clearly, like, in the field where he's, like, where he's at with the people who are around him, like, they're all a little bit of a gamble. Like, I don't hate it. I don't love anybody in that spot, honestly, like in that range.
No, I'm with you.
I'm like, oh, this is time to draft something else.
Get your running backs early if you can, generally.
Yeah, at least there's one. Wide
receivers at that spot that you can get that you actually like.
Yeah, at least one running back, like, nice and early. Because, man, if you don't, oof, it is brutal.
Oh, yeah. You're going like, wait a minute, are these guys in the league?
Yeah. it's hard out there in these streets. And you're not the only person listening to, you know, risers out there. There's going to be people targeting some of these people, right? Not everybody is going to be not knowing about, you know, Gus and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all public knowledge now. So, yeah, it's good advice. Anyway, I digress. I'm supposed to give you somebody who's a riser. And that, for me, I'm going to go with Zach Ertz this time. So, look, I know it hasn't been pretty. He burned the hell out of me last year in Scott Fishbowl. I was real bummed. But he looks to be staying with the Eagles, right? He's building great rapport. Everything you hear from them about him and Jalen Hurts, like, they're doing well together. And again, like, I hate to keep calling back to it, but it was such a great discussion. Looking at our fathers, right? Like, man, the Eagles pass catchers outside of the tight ends are not promising. Like, they've got some promise, right? There's some potential there, but
it was long-term.
It's tough, right? Yeah, rookies, we try to avoid typically. Yep.
And when you're looking at, like, who can Jalen Hurts rely on, it's Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. And quite honestly, when they're both on the field, they're both better. Like, yeah, I mean, I like Zach, and especially he's down pretty dang low at this point. It makes sense. Like, if you're going to be somebody who's gambling on tight ends and just kind of stitching some together, he's the 18th tight end off the board right now. So he might not even go drafted in your league.
Right.
160th spot. Like, again, like, he might not even get drafted in your league.
It's not that far removed, right, from when he was in that, yeah, you know, A class of tight ends, though.
100%. He's had a lot of time to rest up, right? They gotta throw to somebody. I see, like, him being a cheaper play and yet probably being pretty close to Dallas Goedert when it comes to production at the end of all things.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I definitely like Goddard more, but
yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
like, that middle ground for tight ends, though, it, like, the separation points is the bottom so small,
real quick at tight end.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you might as well, if you're gonna stitch something together at the end, like, mm-hmm, he's a great guy to stitch in there that you know is fully capable in an offense that needs him.
Right.
Yeah, I understand, Mike, that Joe doesn't draft a backup tight end. Like, I'm the kind of guy that I always draft a tight end, and then I take a flyer away, hoping that, you know what I mean, maybe you can get somebody. Joe's the belief that I'm going to take one tight end, and then, you know, I'll fill it in when I need to. But
you'll figure it out.
You know, it's just a difference in strategy.
The only way I'm ever taking two tight ends is if it's like, oh, I got Kittle, and then I get Pitts. That's like something like that. Otherwise –
stop making me feel bad about my choices.
Well, the tight end can't, if I don't feel good about him playing flex, then I don't need a second one. That's
we disagree on this, but we've argued about this before in the podcast. Go ahead, Jeff.
So my next guy is just, I think, a handcuff that people need to be paying attention to, and that's Chuba Hubbard on the Panthers. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie out of Oklahoma State. Last year was a little rough for him at Oak State, but COVID year, I don't know what to make of any of that stuff. As a sophomore, though, broke 2,000 yards, 6.4 yards per carry. In preseason so far, he's laid claim. He's going to be the number two back there. He had a 59-yard run his first week in preseason. Next week, 29-yard reception. He can make the plays, and, I mean, we saw what happened when McCaffrey went down last year. Mike Davis ended up being
godsend for my fantasy team.
12 in PPR. He was, if you're in a 12-team league, Mike Davis was a running back one over the entirety of last season.
It was amazing.
So, Chuba Hubbard right now in PPR, he's going like 193. So, he's not even getting drafted in a lot of leagues. And then in standard, he's at 165. So, you can wait. So, he could be your last pick before you go defense, kicker, or you could even potentially take one of those ahead of him, and you can get him. And then if McCaffrey goes down, he's at least a running back too. So he's one of those handcuff guys. You know, there's always like four or five handcuffs where it's like, these guys need to get drafted in your league. And I think he's one of them now.
Do you believe the Panthers are going to be frisky on offense? Because I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, unless Sam Darnold, unless, you know, Adam Gase wasn't destroying him, and he actually is just that bad.
It's also the Jets curse. Come on, the most Jets thing ever would be for him to ball out the minute he gets out of New York. You know
That's the only way, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think I'm not buying Sam Darnold. Like, I don't think you should get him in fantasy. I wouldn't want him to be my QB, but I don't think he's going to hold that skill group back that much.
He's going to be used in daily fantasy a lot this year, Joe. Like, he's going to come up a lot in the low tier. I'm telling you.
That is very true.
Yeah. He was able as a Jet with Adam Gase to put somebody like Robbie Anderson on people's radars. Yeah. Like, he's not untalented, right? He's in the NFL. And I agree. Like, I'm not like picking him as my like QB1. Hell to the no. Because it's a big risk, right? But he's got a great skill group. And if you got talent surrounding you, like, you can, the cream rises to the top.
You're telling McCaffrey's an upgrade on Frank Gore? Come on.
If you're in the QB league, Sam Darnold's not a terrible sleeper guy to take late in the draft. Like, throw him in there. Because if you buy into like, these receivers will be productive, McCaffrey will be productive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe Sam Darnold will have at least a baseline of like solid production.
Absolutely. Yeah, two QBs, super flex. Like, he's definitely somebody to go grab. Frank Gore. I'm still laughing about that. If it's a nuclear holocaust, like, I want Frank Gore. But
otherwise, stay away. Otherwise. All right. My last riser is Myles Gaskin, who I know a lot of people are very concerned about. I am not one of them. He is currently plays for the Dolphins, the 21st running back, 45th overall. I know many are worried about, like, Amon cutting into his workload. In the second preseason, he reminded everybody why he was one of the best-kept secrets in fantasy, because it took my dumbass 2 weeks to pick him up last year, and he was still available. And then I started him, like, every week until he got injured. But just in that last preseason game, and that was in one half, he had 6 carries for 27 yards and 4 catches for 44 yards, 2 touchdowns. Again, I don't trust Tua yet, and he still appears to like to check the ball down a lot. That is inner Myles Gaskin. He is going to be a monster in PPR format, like way above where he's going. Again, I actually still like him better than in just a traditional league, his value, but in PPR is way above. So before he got injured, in standard leagues, he was the 14th best back for the first 8 weeks of the season. Obviously, injuries derailed that, but he was 9th in touches last season. It was Gaskins who had 18.3 touches per game. I think Robinson had like 17 something. He had more than Kamara. He was 6th in targets at almost 5 a game. And again, if it was not for injuries to miss the last 6, he was on pace for 70 receptions and over 1,000 total yards. I expect him to still receive around 200 carries, and I think he has the potential for 50 to 70 receptions. And again, this guy is right now the 21st running back. Like that, I mean, we talked about it. Once you get, I think, about the 14th or 15th, there's not many guys that I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's got a lot of upside. It's him and Trey Sermon. That's the two guys that I'm targeting in almost every draft after you get out of that range. And, man, if you can get two running backs early and then add one of those two guys later, all of a sudden you're loaded at running back. And I think the Dolphins are going to be good. It's all going to be dependent on how good Tua is, how much he improves. But we saw last year, even when he was awful, the Dolphins won games. So I do think he's going to improve. Hopefully the addition of Waddle is going to, you know, make a difference. That the Dolphins are going to be sneaky. And I just think Gaskins is somebody that is extremely undervalued in PPR and slightly undervalued in you know, traditional drafts.
Yeah. I love the Gaskins love. Like, man, just such a great value and still just crazy, like where he falls to in drafts to get somebody who is a solid RB2, who's going to get the workload. I love it. Love everything about it.
Yeah, I think the key to Gaskin is he's just not exciting. Like, I don't think he's like that dynamic.
He's not sexy. Runner.
Yeah, and so people just kind of like forget about him. And then all of a sudden he drops around further than he should, and you've got a great value.
He reminds me of like Devontae Freeman for my Falcons back in the day. Yeah. Devontae was kind of the same way that, you know, like he didn't really do anything exceptional, but he did everything really well. And, you know, again, got a lot of touches and would produce.
Or like Jonathan Stewart when he was with the Panthers. Yep. Like not sexy, but he's going to get it done. Like, yeah, I love that. Hey, I want to share with somebody who is kind of sexy, especially where he's going. You're like, oh no. So
podcast my just got rated R.
I know. That's what I'm here. Rated R superstar. That's me. So
love it.
Look, we talked about him a little bit here and there because he's come up with some other players. But famous Jameis Winston. Look, after clearly taking the reins, like I never really had a doubt. Taysom Hill is just not. No. Like we learned last year. Nah.
I threw a fit after the playoffs saying the Saints cost the Super Bowl by giving Drew Brees one more chance when he's washed. And I really believe if Winston was their quarterback, they could have won the Super Bowl.
Potentially, right? We'll never know. Yeah. but look, like after taking the reins, you got to think like Sean Payton's.
About that, we had some technical difficulties there. Rather than, you know, trying to record and edit, we wanted to get this podcast out as quickly as possible. So Mike was finishing up on Jameis Winston, who is the number 24 quarterback off the board and 176 overall for his final guy on the rise. Joe Matz was going to discuss Brandon Cooks from the Houston Texans, who is right now the 40th wide receiver and 99th overall. We want to thank again the third Mike, a.k.a. Mike Talanco, who's a Dynasty columnist at IBT Media, for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate that. And me and Joe will be back each week during the regular season covering Daily Fantasy, where we give you three options at each position, one in high tier, medium tier, and low tier. And finally, just again, want to remind everyone that the IB Sports Podcast Network is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. We would greatly appreciate it if you'd subscribe, rate, review, and share. So I hope you enjoy both the guys falling and the guys rising and fantasy drafts podcast that we've put up in the last 24 hours. And again, me and Joe will be back every week during the regular season covering guys that you need to target in daily fantasy football.